Welcome, everybody, to episode two of Game Chat Tonight with the Huber Rebels. My name is Ethan.
My name is Jordan.
And we're going to talk about some games this week and any news that has occurred in the past week, because apparently that is a 24/7 cycle. Half the reason why we're doing this show now.
Yep.
And just what else is going on in the world of games and chatting.
I love chatting. I really thought when you were introducing yourself, I was expecting you to say Jordan, because I'm always the one saying it, and I say my name first. So when you were saying it and you said Ethan, it really threw me off.
I could be Jordan. We could switch it up.
We never call each other by name, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, see if people figure it out based on our voices.
Yeah.
But I guess it's been a week. Have you been playing anything?
Yeah, okay, we're starting with what we've been playing. I did play a game. I got a game a few weeks ago, and it was coming highly rated, so I picked it up, and I started it, and I was like, oh god, I think I got suckered again. And that game is Balatro. Are you familiar?
Oh! Yes, I'm so happy you brought this up. I was going through, like, top games of the year lists.
Yeah.
And one of my coworkers is a big poker player.
Yeah.
He has a PS5 mainly for Warzone and FIFA. Doesn't even play FIFA anymore. Doesn't really even play Warzone anymore. So I thought, ooh, maybe this is for him.
I love poker. I used to watch the World Series of Poker every single year. I was obsessed with it. I'm not good at playing poker, but I think it's a really fun game. So I was hearing people talk about it, and they're like, oh, it's a poker roguelite or whatever. I'm like, that's interesting. And I got it on my Switch, and I started playing it, and I didn't get what the hype was all about. Put it away for a couple weeks. We did this show, and I'm like, I need to play something new this week. So I picked it back up, and I'm obsessed. It's so
Whoa.
Much fun. It's so
okay.
addicting. Do you understand what it is?
Very vaguely.
So I'm going to try and say it in not too many words, but you start with a deck of 52 cards, and it spreads out in front of you 10 cards, I think. And you have to pick 1 to 5 cards to play. And then depending on what kind of hand it is, like a high card, pair, two pair, like all that kind of stuff, depending on what that is, mm-hmm. you get a certain number of chips and a multiplier. And you have 4 hands to play in a round to reach a certain threshold of chips. And if you don't meet that threshold, your whole run is done. And then there's a whole bunch of rounds you have to play, and there's bosses, and you have to get to like the end of 8 rounds to like technically win the game. I don't know what happens at the end of that. I haven't done it yet. But then there's Joker cards that you can buy, and they give you like multipliers and different kinds of tweaks and crazy. They transform your cards into gold and glass and stone and all this stuff. So
Wow.
It's very fun. It's very crazy. You just have to, I had to keep playing it to where I kept getting more cards that were more interesting and more fun and made my game more special, I guess. But yeah, no, it's very fun. I highly recommend.
And it's roguelite, so is that just like each playthrough is unique or it never
yeah.
ends?
Each playthrough is unique in the sense that there's, I think, at least 100 jokers. And you can only ever have like a maximum of 5, give or take, depending on what
okay.
kind of attributes they have. So, yeah, you don't discover them all for a long time. And then each run you only have, you know, 5 of the 100 something. And then there's other kinds of cards as well that give other kind of attributes to all your cards. So, yeah, everyone is completely different.
How do you win?
You win.
Slash,
so
can you win?
There's 8 anties, and each ante has 3
okay.
rounds, one of them being a boss. You have to beat 8 anties to win, and each round the chip count goes up. I think I've gotten as high as like 40,000, and it starts at like 400 chips that you have to get to.
Okay.
So it ramps up fast.
And then after that, are there any uncles that you have to
After
yeah,
the
antes,
I don't know. I don't know. I've never gotten there, but I'm hoping there's at least uncles, great uncles, second
maybe
cousins.
Maybe a new game plus.
Yeah. But
Oh,
yeah.
well, I hope it comes to like Game Pass or something because I want to check it out.
Yeah, me too. I shouldn't have paid for it, honestly, but
Nah, you do
I'm
you.
always suckered by
Is
people
it
being like,
just
this game's
single player?
amazing. Yeah,
Yeah.
as far as I know. And I'm always like that for
Okay.
people saying it's amazing and if it's subject matter that I'm interested in. But I'm not really necessarily in a place to be spending money on a bunch of games right now, but I'm glad I did for this one.
We'll find a way to fund that or get around that. The backlog is hefty.
Patreon.
Yeah, Patreon is definitely a way if you want to help us out, play some games that I don't know, maybe you're interested in or curious about, then just pay us to
To
buy
play
them
them
and we'll
for you.
let you know. That
Yeah.
way you don't have to buy it yourself and own it.
Yeah.
Kidding, but
What about you? Did you play anything besides Tears?
no. Well, technically, I played one level of Spyro because a
Oh.
Spyro 4 rumor started going around, and I
I
was
was
like,
hearing about
I'll
that.
play some Spyro.
Yeah.
So I played one level of Spyro from Spyro 2, on the Reignited trilogy. It's another game I want to check off my list.
That's so funny. I just, an hour and a half ago, I was thinking the same thing because I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about the Toys for Bob stuff and they were talking about Spyro. I'm like, I 100%ed. No, I think I platinumed. I don't think I 100%ed. I platinumed the first one. And I should
Oh,
play the other
nice.
ones because they were really fun. Did I
The
platinum it?
second
That
one
might be a
is the
lie.
best.
Is it really? Okay, I should definitely play that.
Yeah. I didn't even platinum. I got 120%, but I haven't platinum because I need to go like burn some sheep and make him run around 5 times and stuff, so it shouldn't be too much for me to go back and do.
Yeah.
But yeah, please give me a Spyro 4. Even more than I wanted okay, so Toys for Bob. They made all the Skylanders games when Spyro was ruined. Then they were brought back and they did the. No. Vicarious Visions did the Insane Trilogy. Toys for Bob did the Spyro Reignited Trilogy. Then they did Crash 4. And then they got looped into Call of Duty. They managed to do Crash Rumble, which nobody asked for, wanted, or cares about. And then more Call of Duty. And then after the Blizzard Activision merger, they were kind of. Said that they could go do whatever they wanted, but they broke from Activision, Microsoft, Blizzard, whatever. So they're independent, but then also contracted with them. And that can be one of two things, Banjo-Kazooie or Spyro. I think
Right.
Spyro 4 is more likely, though, out of the
First, and they have more time after
yeah.
that to make Banjo as well. Like if they're on their own now, they're not contract or beholden to anybody. They can make multiple games. So
A Banjo game is rumored to have been greenlit.
cool. That's awesome.
But I don't trust that. Maybe Rare will do it. Maybe they have a studio within Rare. Maybe. I mean, Sea of Thieves is cooking. Everwild might or might never, I don't know, see the light of day. More like Neverwild, if you know what I mean. So I don't know, but I'm not getting my hopes up. We'll see what happens.
Toys for Bob being put onto the Call of Duty grind reminds me of, remember the beginning of Conan the Barbarian when he grows up and he's giant and jacked and he's just walking in a circle pushing that stick around as a slave. He's chained.
What a
That
waste.
just reminds me of that, where it's like, why would you make this team who's made all these great games just churn out Call of Duty? That's so disrespectful.
Well, you know what Vicarious Visions is now.
I don't.
They're the ones they did the Insane Trilogy and they did Tony
Oh.
Hawk 1 and 2. They're
Cool.
now called like Blizzard North or something. They're not even
Ah.
Vicarious Visions anymore.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's sad. And Tony Hawk himself literally said 3 and 4 was next.
That sucks. Well, good for Toys for Bob. I'm
So,
happy for them.
it's one positive story amongst a lot of negative stories this year so far
For sure,
in the
yeah.
industry. This has been one of the roughest starts to a year, we're really kind of like at an inflection point. I think I saw it's up to like over 8,000 layoffs now since January.
And weren't they like, weren't they hitting 10 like towards the end of last year? Kind of somewhere around there.
10 what?
1,000.
10,000? I don't know what the number was for last year. I know it's way outpacing anything I think we've ever seen.
Even for sure, Nintendo. Yeah. Yeah.
Nintendo's a little different. They laid off about 100 contractors that were doing software testing. They said they're changing their whole system or whatever up at NOA.
That sounds somewhat understandable.
Yeah, they didn't let go of any like full-time employees. They said some people will become full-time employees, but it's not known if that's contractors or not, but a little different. But still, added to the numbers.
Right. Yeah, it's been rough, but we have things to look forward to, hopefully.
Phil Spencer had a big interview where he kind of talked about where the game industry is, the future of Xbox, and that, I would say, has raised a lot of questions, a lot of eyebrows. I don't know if you saw anything about what he talked about.
Yeah, somewhat.
But kind of hinting that the era of console exclusives may be coming to an end, purely from a financial standpoint. Games are just expensive, and the entire dynamic has changed. As to, like, you put out a console, you take a loss on it, but you're going to make it up on software. And now the production budgets are so high, and the way you sell games is so different.
Right.
I would say I very rarely will buy a game day one at full price, because I know if I just wait a little, I can get a huge discount on it. And there's so much content. You used to be able to play every single game that came out in a year. Right. Easy. That is not possible anymore.
Everyone especially has a backlog now.
200 hour. Everyone has a backlog now. And a backlog of 200 hour games and 17 live service games that you can't keep up with.
Right.
And I guess you grow the player base, then you can have that many live service games. But I still think there's only room in the world for a handful of those. Fortnite, now, Warzone, Apex, etc.
Do Nintendo games never go on sale because the only place you can buy them is Nintendo? Like, the part of what he was saying is, like, you can buy these other games in so many different places, but Nintendo has it all behind their wall, so it's just, it's always full price.
Everyone will always buy and a Nintendo.
Right. And is that good? I know it's good for them, but like for us, like, is it good that they never go on sale, or is that kind of like,
okay. Yes. Protect Nintendo at all costs.
Sure. Yes. I understand that perspective, but just from a consumer who doesn't have a stake in their success, do they deserve? Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yes. They saved the entire, if only because they saved the entire industry.
When was that?
The game, the industry crash, I don't know the exact year, 84, 85, something like that. The infamous story is the E.T. game that was filling up landfills. It was so bad.
Yeah.
And it was just, this is gaming, gaming's dead. Then they came out with the NES and Super Mario Brothers, and we are still living in the wake of that. Obviously, other things have filled in around that, but we are still living in that. And even through their failure with the Wii U, the Switch just proved that that was an anomaly.
Sure. I can't wait to see what the Switch 2 is going to be. Yeah.
They are cooking something up that, like, next. They know the Switch was to get them back level. And I know we talked a lot about the Switch 2 on last week's episode, on our first episode. But there was another rumor or patent or something about, like, connecting your smartphone. So maybe there'll even be a mount that you can connect your smartphone, and it'll give you some, like, Nintendo DS action.
Okay. Like, interesting. just as like an information screen.
Who knows?
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. But would you? So the other thing Phil Spencer said was like PC game or not PC, but like Steam and Epic Game Store on Xbox.
Yeah,
I just can't visualize that.
I guess I can. I don't see why not. It just, since Xbox wants their stuff on as many things as possible, it doesn't surprise me that they would want other things on their thing. I just think Xbox wants to merge everything, especially if they're self-admittedly in last place. They're like, let's just all play together. Let's just all be part of the same ecosystem, right, guys? But I don't know. I don't. I know the Epic Game Store is so. I mean, Steam is obviously like the biggest possibly of all of them. But I think the same way Xbox wants you to be able to access their stuff from everywhere, I would love to be able to access Steam from anywhere. And if I got the Xbox handheld or something, if that ever comes out, and then I can download Steam games on there, that would be awesome. Or the Epic Game Store, where they give out free games every month. Like, that's just more free games that I can possibly play in one place.
I know it makes me kind of annoyed that I stopped getting those because I don't use my PC as much.
I know. Exactly.
I feel like they got worse because I would get them every week when they were like first coming out or whatever, but
are they like the PlayStation free games where you can like save it and then download it, or is it just for that week you can play it?
Oh, no, you add them to your library.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was because Steam is the biggest and most dominant PC game front loader store everything. They had to find a way to compete, and I know a lot of people still have issues with it, but
here's why I load
my PC up, there's a whole bunch.
Here's why I can imagine it, because on the Steam Deck, whether it's legal or allowed or not, people have found a way to do anything they want on the Steam Deck. So I think in order to compete, these other companies are going to have to be like, all right, yeah, just here, buy this and get Game Pass. And also you can put all your other games on it too and play it all in the same Xbox ecosystem box, you know?
The proof's kind of been in the pudding for a while. If you this is why some PC master race. If you buy a PC, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
You can play whatever you want. You can download whatever you want from wherever you want. And consoles were always this different thing. But even console architecture hardware is now PC.
Yeah.
So that we can have like backwards compatibility is a PC staple. And on consoles, we used to just accept losing all of our stuff. Which PC Master Race always made fun of. And now that everything's digital, that, like, there's no going back. That was the self-admitted reason Xbox lost the war, because they lost that generation. Well, this is a way to kind of nerf that and evolve from being this like closed garden to just one of the people. Now we're talking about Xbox and everything. I cannot imagine PlayStation playing ball.
No. Now, neither can I, but we also said that about Fortnite and crossplay and stuff, and eventually that all happened. So they're gonna hoard their money until I don't know. I don't know what the breaking point is going to be. Right.
PlayStation games are on PC.
There's already a leak in the dam there. So it will happen eventually. I understand it's hard to imagine that, but yeah, I don't know if that's next gen or even the gen after that. But I do think there will be somewhat of a merging of all of them at some point. And then you know, PlayStation produces the games that you love. It's not so much the box itself, because they're all getting very similar as well. Like, with technology being as high standard as it is, it's like they can all kind of do the same things. So,
and that, to bring it full circle, is why Nintendo will always charge full price because they are always doing something unique.
True, right.
And they will always differentiate themselves.
Their console is handheld, and these other ones are like, should we make a handheld? PlayStation's like, here's the Portal, but it's just a mirror of your actual console. And Switch is like, nah, we got one. It's the whole thing.
And don't forget, PlayStation's made two handhelds. First one did a little bit better. Right. I had the second one. You never used it because there were no games. But it's just an incredible world and state that we've gotten to, where everything's so seamless across everything. And it used to be, let me play this little pixel game on my Game Boy.
Right.
So that I can play a game. Now it's like, no, I just need everything everywhere.
Now from across the world, I can play my God of War on my phone, you know, Wi-Fi accessing my PlayStation or something. Like, yeah, it's wild. I don't know if that's actually something you can do, but...
No, it is.
Yeah.
What did I do? When I was in Italy,
You had to download something,
I didn't play.
Right?
I had to get Obi-Wan.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Because, of course, that's when that happened. I always said the first Fortnite skin I will buy is Obi-Wan, and I tried to do it on my Switch. I had my Switch, but the currency was weird, and I didn't have all my V-Bucks or whatever.
That's hilarious.
I did it. It was a thing. It happened.
Yeah.
But, yeah, games, the financials just don't make sense, and they're making less and less sense as games get more complicated and more expensive. I don't think I ever imagined that it would take 12 years to get a new GTA game in between. But unless they can find a way to streamline game development, there's going to have to be a way to get the most money out of these hundreds of millions of dollars that they're pouring into these projects.
Yeah. I mean, GTA is going to print money for literally decades, but everyone else, like, it's so much harder to make those profitable, I would imagine.
Rockstar is the anomaly. I don't know if there's an equivalent in the movie space, but it's the same kind of thing that we're seeing with all the streaming services. We thought that those were all going to be one kind of stop shops, housing everything, and now even those services are licensing out their content and cutting it so that they can make more money off of all this content.
That's very true. Speaking, maybe this is just a time to bring this up real quick. I was going to mention on the podcast sometime when it came up, but why can't we watch Westworld on HBO?
Because they're because they didn't get enough people watching it on
but,
there.
So but where is it?
It out to make money. I don't know where it is right now.
It's somewhere, nowhere.
I'm sure. We had just started season 4, I think, or season 5, whatever the last season was. And then they were like, it's leaving HBO. And I was like, I hate everything now.
What do you mean? It's an original program. That's so weird. Yeah, I hate that. When will PlayStation make a Game Pass?
They did with their... They already did it with, what, PlayStation Plus Plus?
Is that enough?
So PS Plus Extra. Yeah,
I guess
that's
it
all
is.
They're going to do. You're never going to get... Yeah, no, that is their equivalent. The only difference between... Like, we'll say Extra, because their Essentials is their monthly games, which is still the best kind of minimum bar out of anybody.
Sure.
But for Extra, the only difference between that and Game Pass is exclusives day and date.
Really?
Starfield is included in Game Pass launch day.
Right.
You're not... Spider-Man 2 was
oh sorry I thought you were saying that. They did have that. Okay, yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, I kind of forgot they did have. I rarely look at it now. I just kind of find those free games, the monthly ones that I'm used to from like years ago, but I forgot they do have a bigger library now with the weird expansion of PlayStation Plus.
What tier do you have?
The top one, I think. I think when mine lapsed, I think it like auto signed me up for that one or something. I need to look at that and see if I need to adjust. But
I did the second level, which is extra. So premium, the only thing it adds is old games, which there's not enough of. And if they had like a gang of PS2 games and a gang of original PlayStation games, I'd be way more inclined. Like, you give me a PS2 library from one of the greatest consoles, if not the greatest console of all time, I'm down.
Yeah.
But it's like three games that I already own because they were available as PS2 on PS4 games and I bought them.
Let me play SSX Tricky again.
Yes, exactly.
That's the game I want remastered. I mentioned it before. I want them to make that again. But let me play the old one. I don't care. Just something. God, those games were so much fun.
There's a... I think it's on Twitter or maybe on Instagram. There's these like 90s retro or nostalgia channels. And they always make me sad because they have this like kind of melancholic music that they play in the background. And one is that feeling in 2001, Christmas morning, when you start up and you just don't even understand what you're about to experience. And it's just like SSX Tricky, but this like depressing, melancholic music playing of nostalgia.
There's a band that I like called The Midnight, and they have a they have a like slogan that is Japanese. It's mono no aware, something like that. And it is like it basically boils down to like a sad but like happy at the same time, just nostalgic remembrance of things. It's like you remember happy things, but it's also like a sadness that they're no longer there, and that's just like kind of the vibe that they go for. And I don't know, you mentioning that music reminded me of that they're happy memories, but yeah, it's you wish
it rips me up
go back there.
I just want to, I don't need to redo it, I don't want to redo it, I just want to like about time. I want to about time it.
Dude, me too. Because that is perfect. Because we've always been ourselves. That doesn't change. But he gets to go back to his then body and come back whenever he wants to. Yeah, that is a perfect format.
Just a little bit.
If we
not
can
to
ever
mess it up, not to change the future.
I really hope all those memories are actually in there so that if we ever are able to like plug ourselves into a computer someday, we can actually go back, you know? I know they're there, and but we have like snapshots of them, but I hope the whole recording is there, if you know what I mean.
I'll save the theoretical physics talk for the main podcast. I want to say we even talked about this over there.
Recently or at some point? We might have.
I think recently.
Okay.
The past still exists. Is that something I said to you?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that tomorrow. One of the
first things we learn in like high level physics, I guess, I read about. But yeah, even man, Christmas morning, opening up like a new game. Hard to top that.
I remember the times when all I used to do for, you know, Christmas prep was just walking through the game section of Toys R Us and being like, I want that one and that one and that one and that one. I didn't even end up like, getting that many games like for Christmases or anything like that. It's just there were so many that I wanted.
The feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I most of my games are in boxes currently from moving. But I needed to get The Last of Us so that I could get it in and do the $10 upgrade for the PS5 version.
Okay.
So I was pilfering through some boxes, and I realized, like, oh my god, I have so many. But I took out one stack of games that I had in the TV cupboard, like in the TV stand. And I was like, I know I have so many others, but it was nice to just kind of have this little stack. And it was like my Starfield Steelbook, Red Dead, Jedi Survivor, Hogwarts, Tears of the Kingdom Steelbook, Last of Us 2, and Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
Nice.
This is such a nice, just like mix, diverse little mix of games right here.
Yeah, I love that.
Just gonna ignore the other massive piles of never-ending content. Which kind of reminds me of like being a kid and you only have like a little selection of games.
For sure. I've had my pile of PS4 games next to me basically since I moved out of my parents' house. I've just had like these are the only games I
All of
know I'm
them?
gonna actually like, well, no, it's the only ones that I actually
The
know I
main
would
ones.
pop in and play.
Yeah.
Because most of the games I just have digitally now too. But did you buy
It's
Hogwarts
totally
or
different. No, somebody lent it to
you
me.
borrowed it? Yeah, okay.
Yep.
No, that I
The
don't.
survivors from you.
Oh my God, I don't even have Hogwarts physically. That makes me sad. I have the steelbook, but I don't have a
Oh,
disc for it, which
that's
I
good. No,
need to
that's the way to
get so
go.
I can put the disc in there.
What do you mean?
I have a steelbook, but it's empty. It didn't come with a disc. It was
Yeah.
a custom
Yeah.
like Etsy thing. Do I have to put a disc in it
No, no, no.
though?
That's the way to do it. No. No, you want the steelbook and digital. Because the truth is being able to just click it and download and delete it and move it around, it's the way to go.
Sure.
Because other so Last of Us I've had physical. I'm an idiot, haven't played it since the 4 years that I anxiously raced to buy it. Why well, don't buy games at launch anymore?
Yeah.
But it's two discs, and I would have to every time I'd be like, this is time. I'd have to put in the one to copy all the data over. Then I'd have to put in the second disc to copy the rest and play it. And thankfully, with the upgrade, I get the digital version. However, it says you still need your disc every time to like authorize it, which I thought was bizarre. But then you could just pop it into everybody's console and get it for $10.
I think that's the same thing that happened to me with the Spider-Man upgrade. Because
Okay,
I
that
upgraded
makes
to the
sense.
PS5 version and I still had to put my disc in every time.
Wow.
Which is fine, but.
Yeah. But I decided to plug the Ethernet in, and all 85, not to give you FOMO, but all 85 gigs of Last of Us downloaded in 15 minutes.
Nice. That's great. I love that.
And
Hey,
even that felt like too long.
I don't actually have any issues with downloading anything, mainly because I am not actively just sitting here waiting for things to download. My issue is
Yeah.
when I'm trying to upload our podcasts and it takes 7 hours. That's my frustration.
Oof.
So I'm
Well.
trying to get it to you people, and my internet here just will not allow it.
The technology exists, and it one day it will be in both of our hands
Oh
for
man.
full seamless delivery. It's crazy. Like, did you ever watch Silicon Valley?
Yeah.
The whole premise of that is compression.
Yes.
And I thought that was a really interesting angle because that's still kind of a
Problem.
untamed beast. Yeah, it's still a problem. So it's a good, I guess, MacGuffin. I don't know if that's the right use of the term there, but yeah, I mean, speed bottlenecks have been, it's why it's crazy to me that Game Pass, sorry, the Xbox cloud streaming is like working. Because it seemed like that would never work. And it works. I don't know if you've done it. I know Taylor uses the Xbox, but like,
Yeah.
I can pull up a game on my phone and it works.
I should try that.
It from the
'Cause
remote play that we were talking about earlier,
yeah.
where it's literally X, and it's because Microsoft has server hubs around the world, so they're one of maybe the only people that can pull that off.
Now, with my bad internet, is that going to affect the quality or the
The bar
speed
is
of it?
low.
Yeah, it is.
The bar is low.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've also been
So it might
tempted. I
work.
don't think I should, but I've been tempted to get a portal too, and I just don't know if that will perform well here or if that doesn't actually matter.
I don't have one, so I can't speak to that, but it would be worth looking up some
Metrics.
reviews or I'm sure Digital Foundry, if anything, has a write-up on that. I'm sure someone can clue you into that performance. The Portal's a nice machine, man.
Because
I would get that.
If I could play my Power Wash Simulator while, like, I'm watching TV with her or something, and I don't have to spend my late nights down here doing it, that would be great.
Is it not on Switch?
I don't want to... I'm not going to buy it. And all my progress is on my PlayStation, so no.
It's enough progress, right? That wouldn't be worth doing it again.
I mean, if I ever wanted to play it again, maybe. But yeah, no, I'm trying to get the... I'm also trying to get the Platinum Trophy, so...
Yeah.
And that's I feel like it would look ugly on the Switch. If you like what we do, we'd really appreciate it if you'd consider supporting us on Patreon. Now, more than ever, small independent teams need all the help they can get, and we'd love to have you join the rebellion.
Joining us on Patreon can get you a wide array of perks, starting with our one-star tier. Joining this tier will get you voting rights for Movie Madness, our weekly journey through an actor's entire filmography.
Our two-star tier will give you extended episodes of the Huber Rebels podcast, Game Chat Tonight, and Movie Madness, both ad-free and a day early. Plus, you can write into those shows for a chance to have your questions and comments read on the podcast.
The three-star tier delivers the most value with our Patreon-exclusive shows. You will get a monthly episode of Crossword Struggle and Climbing the Ranks. And we have more exclusive shows planned to add even more value to this tier.
Next, as a four-star rebel, your name will be listed in an on-screen shout-out on each of our weekly scheduled shows.
Finally, you can be one of only 24 people to be considered a founding rebel. You will receive a limited edition founding rebel t-shirt. Your name will be read on each of our shows as a founding rebel, and you will forever be remembered as one of the very few people to truly help start the rebellion.
Visit patreon.com/HuberRebels for more information. Thank you so much for your support, and back to the show.
Well, hopefully by next year we'll be at least smooth sailing so we can stream some GTA 6.
Yes.
I don't know if you've seen, there's been stupid stories flying left and right over the last like week or so. Mainly Kotaku posted this thing saying, we got sources that said it's not coming out in early 2025, it's coming out in late 2025 and maybe even 2026. And a bunch of people reported on it. But it was, all they did was reiterate stuff that it was nothing new. Nothing new came out. They
yeah.
Just regurgitating old news.
It did not sound like news to me. It just sounded like, from what I heard, it was like, we're still on pace for what we want, but it could come out this time if we need to. And that's fine if you need to do that. Like, we're not trying to rush you or anything. Like, put it out when it's ready. And then from there, they're like, well, that could mean 2026 if it's fall 2025. It's like, you're just making that up. So, yeah, that's annoying.
They literally made it up. They had no source. They had no sources. This was not new information. And that got basically confirmed because I think today we got a double doozy of two reliable people. So Jason Schreier, the GOAT, finally came out and said, there's been nothing. Early 2025 was never the plan, so I was wrong, because that was my prediction for GTA 6 was early 2025, mainly because I wanted it to be less than a year away.
Right.
But it sounds more likely to be summer/fall 2025.
And that summer was
backed up by Insider. Yeah.
Summer so sounds perfect.
At the earliest, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know if they would do that. So maybe it's like September, because I think that's around when GTA 5 came out, which is like still Q2, Q3. It's in that kind of time frame, and Insider Gaming backed that up. Nobody has mentioned delaying it to 2026. Maybe they were grasping at straws because they're pushing people to return to office, but that's mainly because of the leaks.
Now,
for security purposes,
I know obviously they like releasing games during around the holidays because people are going to get them as mm-hmm. you know, gifts and stuff like that. But GTA 6 being set in quote unquote Miami, totally a summer vibe. It'd be so much fun to play during summer, and all these kids going on summer break who are going to have all this time to play GTA 6. Like, isn't that like also a perfect time to release a game like that?
Sarah, this game is not for children.
It is though. And they are going to play it.
Honestly, The GTAs we played, not that bad.
Right.
Very cartoony. I'm concerned for children playing this.
I know, but they're going to. You know they're going to.
Yeah.
Either there's parents who don't care, or there's parents who aren't going to look it up and know. They just know that it's the new video game. Because I'm not judging either way, but I know there's parents who don't care what the letter on the front of the game says. They just get their kid the video games or something. And whether they look it up or not, like there's gonna be tons of kids who have and play this game.
Stores used to not sell you games, and that's definitely not a
Well,
thing anymore. Plus digital delivery.
digital, yeah. I mean that's not even a barrier. So I don't know. I think summer sounds like a perfect
Well
time.
said.
The same way we were saying playing Luigi's Mansion during Halloween is perfect. I think playing GTA 6 during the summer sounds amazing. Not when it's snowing outside for some people.
My like game tracker of what I'm playing currently and next. I haven't every year now. It's like kind of I have like a few that are kind of like right now and like next. And then I have like the next tier.
Yeah.
And it's now become where every year I just have a Halloween section.
Yeah, right. The Batmans.
The only time of the year that has a call out, Halloween.
That's cool. For me,
Because I love
winter is
playing
just I
scary
need to
games.
play GTA 5 during the winter one time. I've still never done it, and this is probably my last
Never?
chance. No.
Okay, we'll do it this year. We'll do
Yeah.
a Huber Hangouts,
In the snow.
GTA Online in snowy Los Angeles.
That makes sense.
Another game that kind of got announced slash leaked. I don't know if you ever played Overwatch.
No.
I also have never played Overwatch, even though that was a phenomenon that swept the nation.
I remember when it was coming out. I remember when it was on the horizon and I was hearing about it. I'm like, ooh, I think I'm gonna be an Overwatch guy. And I never got into it. I have played it like maybe twice. Didn't like it. I didn't feel good. I don't like I don't I think I liked playing
Hero Shooter.
Team Fortress 2. I enjoyed that, but I never avidly played it. I just tried it and enjoyed it. But yeah, Overwatch was not my thing. But maybe this game you're about to mention, maybe.
Would mention it.
So yeah, Marvel Rivals, when I first heard about it, I was like, a Marvel Overwatch game? I could be down. It was weirdly teased on what, Tuesday? They're like, we're hearing
Yeah.
rumors of a Marvel-style Overwatch game. And then on Wednesday, they're like, here's the reveal. And I watched the trailer, and I don't think I'm into it. I don't know about you.
It looks cool. I like what they're going for. I don't have the time to throw something like this in my rotation.
No.
Two, it's only coming to PC, so
That
it's
sucks. I
kind of
remember
irrelevant.
seeing that. Also, can we
Yeah.
talk about how it looks literally exactly like Overwatch?
Yeah. Oh,
It
yeah. No, that's
looks
what they're. It's a.
identical to it. It's not even like an homage. It
Genre.
literally looks like a mod or a skin of Overwatch
Yeah.
with
I did have that
cartoon
same thought.
cel-shaded Marvel characters. I don't know. I don't think I dig it.
I would play this before I played Overwatch, but
Same.
considering how little effort I put into even attempting to kind of try Overwatch, I'm good.
I like the concept of like having these characters and there's only one of them in every game. Like everyone isn't this character or something. I liked that about Apex, where it's like you have all these heroes or whatever it is, and every one of you picks one and they have all these different perks. That's fun, but I don't know. I don't know if this is the right term, but it just kind of feels like a bullet hell kind of thing that I don't like. There's just graphics and images and effects happening all over the place, and it's not my thing. I like a more standard shooter in that sense.
Weirdly, when you said that, I thought of Splatoon and how the only mode I enjoyed in that game was Salmon Run.
Yeah.
because of the tactics involved and the strategy. Because regular Splatoon just is like chaos to me and
Yeah.
just insanity.
I didn't like that either.
So I concur with your takeaway there and have the same kind of feeling.
But we'll see. I'm not gonna submit my full judgment now. It's not even in pre-alpha yet, so we'll see how this looks down the road. But PC only sucks. That's weird.
They'll test it there and then bring it to console later.
Yeah. Free to play is nice.
Free to play?
Yeah.
Okay, that I did not realize. Overwatch not free to play.
Neither of them?
That I don't know. Originally though,
I
not
don't
free to
think they
play.
were. I don't think they're.
Ever.
Man, what a
No, they
scam.
weren't. They might be now.
What an absolute scam Overwatch 2 is. I can't believe that.
Oh, that's a whole. That's for another time.
I
I
know.
had to educate myself on that. That's a wild story.
Man, that makes me mad for them.
Yeah. One other game that I thought we could touch on that I never expected to even talk about that was not on my radar, but now for multiple reasons has been on my radar. And you actually called it out, and I'm very curious as to why you called it out. And that game is Dragon's Dogma 2.
I was gonna do this in post show because I didn't want to sound stupid, but I
There's no stupid question.
for some reason cannot tell the difference in my head between Dragon's Dogma 2 and Rise of the Ronin, and I don't know if they're good or not because every time I hear about them, I feel like I hear conflicting things. Either people are like, "This is amazing, it's 10 out of 10s," or people are like, "This game sucks." Microtransactions, blah blah blah, like all this, like I keep hearing these flip-flopping things, and then I keep hearing them about each game, and I can't keep them straight in my head. I feel like leading up to them, people were like, one of them is amazing and one of them is meh. And then I feel like that swapped, and now I don't know which one's which. Like, is this game good? Is
Well,
it doing good?
let me clear things up. It's Dragon's Dogma 2, subtitle Rise of the Ronin. No, I'm totally kidding.
Oh my God.
But you kind of believed me.
I
It could
don't.
kind of work, and that would be a
That was
horrible
gonna
title.
break my brain. Okay, yeah.
Two different games. Rise of the Ronin, I was interested in. That's on PlayStation. That's Team Ninja. Or no, Platinum Games. Crap. Okay, I'm not 100% sure there. That's my bad. That is a time period I'm interested in.
This
I
game
don't think
looks
that game is for me.
awesome. Really?
Ish.
This looks like
Yes.
your stuff entirely.
Not for me. My thing is Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, it looks
This
like Ghost
is
of
like.
Tsushima Lite.
Yes. It is hack and slash, kind of like. Lot more spammy combat, dorky characters,
Yes.
slightly not as good graphics. It's very
Have you?
janky. I'm on an airplane. I'm flying, then I'm on my horse, and the horse just kind of appears out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Arcade, that's the word I'm looking for. Not bad. Not bad at all. Not, I don't, I like more grounded games.
Sure.
And why I'm interested in Dragon's Dogma is we'll kind of flow right into that. The downsides that I've heard about Rise of the Ronin is it is bloated as all can be with like loot. Like you would just have hundreds of swords and hundreds of outfits, just bloated loot that you're having to like sort through and stuff that kind of bogs the game down.
Yeah.
Not a bad game, not for me. From the studio that made Neo, so there's a little bit of Souls in there, and it's a mixture of a whole bunch of stuff. The setting I love. I think it's 18th century or 19th century Japan. So the West is kind of coming. There's that mix. One of my favorite movies, and you can give me a hard time for this, is The Last Samurai. I know we got a white guy, Tom Cruise, as a samurai, but that was one of
Oh.
my first exposures to that setting, and it is Americans coming over, like that is why.
I still have
I
not
still
seen
enjoy
that.
that movie. Stand by that movie. Check it out. It's good.
I will.
And it's got favorite actor who I can't think, Watanabe, I think is his
Ken
name, and I'm
Watanabe.
probably Ken Watanabe. I love him. He's one of my favorite actors. Low key, when I was watching the Acolyte trailer for a second, I thought that's who was going to be in there, and now I really want him in Star Wars.
He would be great.
Yes, I
Like
really
he could
want him
have
in
been a
Star Wars.
good
Maybe
the guy from
put him
Rogue
in the
One.
OG. Put him in the OG Jedi movie.
Yeah.
The biblical epic Jedi movie.
Okay, so that's not what the Acolyte is. That's not the like ancient stuff.
No, that's 100 years before Fall of the High Republic. Beginning
Okay,
of the
okay,
Fall of
okay.
the High Republic.
Okay,
End of
good.
the High Republic.
I guess I was imagining, sorry to go on this tangent. I'll save that for another day. It's fine. Continue with the game.
No, so that's Rise of the Ronin. I don't think it's for me, which is fine. I only have so much time, so much money.
Yeah.
Dragon's Dogma 2. This is a sequel to a PS3 game. That was not something I was interested in. I like dragons, but from what I've heard, this is that game fully realized. So that's a good starting point. My introduction to this game was a clip on Twitter. I take that back. Well, two clips on Twitter, one that I just saw after release and one that I saw leading up to release. The kind of preview one was like a dragon that they were fighting and they're like jumping on it and like very interactive, very dynamic. Not just I'm a character standing still and hitting you, and then you're a beast there that's taking hit points. Like it was very grounded and like, I don't know, interactive. I think I already said that, but
Yeah.
so that kind of made me turn my head and be like, oh wait, oh this looks interesting and different and like good. But still, I'm like, I don't, what is fantasy usually puts me off. Then I saw a clip on Twitter of somebody kind of losing their mind. So they were fighting. There was like a ravine. And I guess I missed the first part. And there was like a troll on the other side. And the troll, or somebody destroyed the bridge. And then they hit the troll. And the troll fell and was like holding one side of the cliff, and his feet were on the other side of the cliff, almost like you could use him as a bridge. And they ran across him and then hit his like things, and he fell
That's
into
so
the
cool.
ravine. And you'd think like this was like a set canned sequence.
Yes.
No, happened completely organically. And like somebody said, like that situation has happened like hundreds of times. That's the only time they saw that happen. That got my
Now,
attention.
was he just did this game entity know like if it's close enough to something to try and grab onto it, and they happen to be close enough, and that's why it worked?
I think so.
That's cool. I like that.
It seems like they've built in a ton of dynamic systems. That is
Yeah.
like literally my dream in games, is to play something that can play out uniquely with where it's not just like a set number of fixed canned animations.
You're watching a movie that you happen to be moving around in.
And dictating organically.
Sorry, that's the
So,
bad version of it. It's like that's more scripted. This is your own story.
oh, yes. Yes, exactly. Which with an RPG is like, that's the goal.
That sounds cool.
So that got my attention. And then I started hearing comments like that is what this game is all about. And so now I'm like, are you kidding me? Do I want to play this? So I still have some more research to do.
I remember us seeing the reveal of this at the PlayStation Showcase, and I think I thought it
Really?
looked cool. I know I would never play this game, but I want to go back and see if we both commented on it and what we said.
Yeah, try to find that clip, because I don't remember. I kind of remember that, but not like distinctly.
Right. I just remember I keep seeing clips of these giant hippogriffs that they're fighting. Like that's what I remember from that reveal.
That sounds cool.
I think they're hippogriffs or they're just giant eagles. I'm not sure, but
Yeah, the other kind of comment I've heard about this game is all about these things called pawns. and there are these NPCs that are basically like your party members, and they are hugely like complex and like dynamic AI NPC characters, really. And you can kill them and get different ones and customize and all that. Because I also think I saw that if you kill them all, the game runs really smooth.
What? Really?
Like they're taxing the CPU. They are taxing the CPU. So people are going around and killing them all.
That's
all the
hilarious.
NPCs in the game to get their game to run smoother. So they've that like uncapped the frame rate. And it's tied to these NPCs. So people are going on mass murder sprees.
Wow. So that's one thing, like, that's cool that there's so many different, like, party members that you can get. Because I kept hearing with Baldur's Gate 3, it sounded like there was only so many party members that you could bring with you. I only kept hearing about the same, like, 5 or 6. There might be more than that, and I only heard about the popular ones or something, but it still seems rather limited. And this seems like you can very much mold it and sculpt it to however you want it to be, so... Not that I'm not saying this is better than Baldur's Gate 3. That would probably be a bold statement, but
I will never play Baldur's Gate 3. Better is relative. I don't want to play a top-down isometric Dungeons and Dragon game.
Turn-based thing
for me. Yeah. I want turn-based. This is like a dynamic living RPG that has my attention officially.
Cool.
We'll see. We'll see where this goes. I have one other thing to say about this game.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna quiz you.
Oh God.
The PS4 reveal event.
Oh
curious
boy.
If you
okay.
remember anything from that. I'm gonna set it up and see if you remember. So
yeah.
This is where they're showing off different game concepts and tech demos, and one of them has you in this like fantasy cave dungeon, and there's a dragon. And there's a knight. And he's like running around this like it's like close thing and there's fire and you're hiding and it's revealed as deep down.
Okay.
And if
I don't remember that.
We will look it up because I found another article that somebody thinks that concept originally died. That was the first like PS4 game where I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Like quality. Like that's what games are going to look like. Never came to life. Game got canceled, canned, shelved. The concept just didn't pan out. But somebody playing Dragon's Dogma 2, also made by Capcom. So same company that made this. They think they integrated some concepts and ideas from that into this, specifically the cave system. So there's a big open world where it feels like you can go anywhere and do anything, but then you go into a cave and it's claustrophobic and it's narrow and it's linear and you're step by step. They really switch the gameplay up. So hearing that on top of everything, I want to see what this game's all about.
That's kind of a spiritual successor to that old.
This original. That game came out 11 years ago. Never.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
What happened to it?
It just got shelved.
It was like part of the PS4 reveal or launch or something, and that game didn't happen. That's odd,
isn't it?
Yeah, it
was still in development. It was still in development, and what they wanted to do just didn't materialize.
Hmm. Well, cool. It's cool that they can kind of like pull some bones out of it and make something new. Hopefully, maybe, if that's what happened.
I love it. Like you kind of said to kick us off, like this this show's got me excited to like play stuff again. I only played 6 games last year officially. Had a busy year, and some of those were very large games. But
yes,
excited to kind of like get out there and dabble in all kinds of stuff. And
totally.
Again, check us out on Huber Hangouts, where we might be overcooking or moving, both IRL and in game.
We might be dungeoning
dragoning.
Legending, you know, who knows what we'll be playing.
Dogma-ing. Cat-footing.
Blatro-ing.
Hey.
No, not what? On Huber Hangouts. That's a single-player game.
you could Twitch stream it.
If I ever get good internet, I will try that, yeah.
There you go. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have for this week. We'll see what kind of happens the next week. There's always something exciting, maybe some kind of crazy leak or rumor, or we'll have some great adventure in a game. Maybe I'll finish Zelda. That might actually happen by next week, and that would be a mind-blowing experience. I'm
Awesome.
not quite ready. Seven booble frogs left.
Yeah, of course. I can't believe you only have seven booble frogs. That's wild.
Yep. It's gonna blow your mind once you realize what that is.
I can't wait. It's wonder.
Anyways, but thanks for watching and tuning in. This has been Game Chat tonight with the Huber Rebels. My name is Ethan.
My name is Jordan.
And welcome to the Rebellion.
Subscribe on Patreon. We
Till
love
next
you.
time.